gaiety of the young men and women on their bicycles made him feel misanthropic. He stood there frowning, a tall Englishman in a stone-grey suit, his eyes slightly narrowed against the sun, so that the deep lines in his face seemed to run down even more darkly than usual. An Englishman with a high forehead and dark brown hair, watching the fair-haired young men and women on their swarming, weaving bicycles. The flash of skirts and the turned heads, the tinkling of bells. The morning was dust and noise and heat. No, he thought, I won't go to that dinner. I can't be bothered. There was more to it than mere unsociability. There was something he could not explain, even to himself. He did not want to be drawn into anything in Copenhagen. He was here as a music critic for the ballet and music festival, and that was going to be that. He thrust out his other memories. He wanted to meet no one he had known when he had worked in the Danish resistance movement here, and certainly he wanted to meet no one with whom he had worked during those turbulent months afterwards. He was conscious of a strange flickering intimation of danger, such as he had felt before in this city. But now there were no Gestapo men after him. No Gestapo and no police. The sensation was childish. He would not let himself give in to anything so absurd. He argued himself into deciding that he would accept Holterson's invitation. The car arrived at his hotel on the dot. Within 10 minutes, Martin was being set down outside a tall house overlooking a park. There were so many parks in Copenhagen. If he had been here before, his mind retained no picture of the place. His host came to meet him in the hall. He was an elderly man, not tall, but with a slight stoop. He looked very thin and angular, and when they shook hands there was no strength in his fingers. Martin did not, even now, remember him, but he had seen many faces in Denmark like this. Those blue eyes staring out of a lean face in which the bones seemed to lie so close to the surface, thrusting up against the taut skin. His lips looked very dry, and although there was no telephone between himself and Martin Slade now, his voice had the same metallic whisper.
"I'm glad to see you again, Mr. Slade."
Holterson put a hand lightly on his arm. It was a fine, frail hand, like that of a much older and weaker man. They went towards a large door. As they entered the room, a woman came towards them.
"I think," said Holterson, "you have met my wife?"
Martin stopped abruptly. Perhaps he ought to have been prepared for this. Perhaps somehow he should have guessed. But that twitch of unease, that premonition this morning, had not been as clear as all that. It was Birgitta. Chapter 2. There were five of them at dinner. Conversation flickered for a few moments, and then began to burn steadily. They prodded cosy formalities towards the reassuring flame. "Such a privilege," Birgitta was saying, "to have a celebrated music critic at our table." Her eyes narrowed in a little grimace that he well remembered. Once it had been an intimate communication between them, a silly twitch of supposed affection. Now he found it distasteful. It was wrong that she should be capable of turning it on again so readily. The two of them had parted and would never come together again. She had always talked a great deal about marrying some rich man, and apparently she had succeeded.
"After the adventurous life you once led," said Henning Holterson, "it must be a great change to write about music, after the excitement."
"Music is very exciting," said Martin. "Exciting enough for me, anyway."
He looked across the table at Isla, who smiled heartily back at him. Martin had never liked or trusted Isla. Now he seemed larger and more broad across the shoulders than ever. One could see him as the descendant of the old sea raiders, with his massive head and those great hands. The only resemblance between himself and his sister Birgitta was in their hair, but where his was streaked with sandy hue, hers was a rich auburn. And if it was surprising that Birgitta should be Isla's sister, it was even more surprising that the other member of the group should be his daughter. Inger Nielsen was, oddly, more like Henning Holterson. She was fair and had severe, well-defined features, the living image of the cold clarity and determination of her Nordic race. She said little. She was quiet and reserved, rather like a grave, attentive child, but with the face and body of a beautiful young woman. From time to time, Martin glanced at her. He could not account for the wry sadness in her eyes. It made him uneasy. There was something wrong in this house, something wrong with all these people,